Continue our study on this important series on building a Christian life without compromise, and thank God that today we are at our fifth lesson. If you still recall, we have started with three important and essential elements that must be in us in order to pursue this path of integrity of living a life without compromise for the Lord. And this list the three of them that we learned for the first three lessons. And the first is that we must have in us this desire in our heart to know Christ intimately. There must be that true salvation that we all experience. Salvation that when we come to finally know the Lord Jesus Christ, that is now our life goal, our life purpose. And so like the Apostle Paul, a true believer will always say, for me to live is Christ. And then when we end our life, we can also say, to die is gain. And so that must be the overarching goal of every true child. But when that is in our heart, we are in the right path of living a life of integrity. To know Christ, to know Him intimately, and to be able to say, for me to live is Christ. And so we have gone through what it means of true salvation, forsaking everything else such that I have Christ, the pearl of the great price. I'm willing to sell away everything in order to pursue Christ. And that is what a true believer is. And secondly, we learn that the second important element is that we must be committed to know the Word of God. And the reason is this, because every compromise in our life is a rejection of God's Word. And I say again, every compromise in our life is a rejection of God's Word. And you know that when you don't know the Word of God, or you're not committed to obey God's Word, then it's very easy to compromise. And so there must be this, again, a heart's commitment to know God's Word, to study God's Word, and to pursue in obedience of God's Word. And then the third essential element of integrity that we learn is this, that we must have this desire to pursue godliness. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. Why did the Bible say this? Without holiness, no man shall see God. And the reason is this, that a true believer must pursue this path and this goal of holiness. Godliness. And so that must be in us that we put in all our effort, desire to pursue a holy and godly life for the Lord. And so the Lord said, be holy, for I am holy. And then the last lesson that we had the last time, about a month back, was we went into example into the Bible. See? And we started with the example of none other than this man called Daniel. Daniel, right? If you want to know a person who had an uncompromising spirit, a man who stands as exemplary conduct of integrity for the Lord, none other than this man, Daniel. See? And we learned in chapter 1, the last time, of how Daniel knew when to draw the line. See, when you compromise, you cross the line. And so it's important for you and I to know where is the line to draw. That beyond this line, you will not cross over. And this line is what we call the scripture line, the Bible line. And wherever the Bible draws this line, and this is what the Bible has stated, you and I must be like Daniel, I will not cross over. And so we know from the last lesson in Daniel chapter 1, that the line that Daniel drew was very clear. He will not partake any food that is offered to idols. He will not eat them because it is against the law of God. It's against the Levitical laws for a Jew to eat it. It's against the law of separation because this food are offered to idols, or the Babylonian idols. And so it was very clear to Daniel, this line I must not cross over. And so this is the scripture line, the Bible line, and for Daniel, he stood in his stand for the Lord, and he would not partake, even though taken as a captive, a prisoner. And you know that your life is at stake, and you know that without the food, you may die. And yet he would stand for the Lord, and of course, you know that the Lord blessed him, and the Lord gave him good health and good countenance. And so that was the last lesson we learned. And today we want to continue to study integrity again, looking from the book of Daniel, and two very familiar stories that we know from the book of Daniel. One from Daniel's three friends in the fiery furnace, and then after that in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel himself going through the test of integrity in the lion's den. Right, so we want to again draw some lessons from this. Alright, before we start, let's pray first and again ask for God's blessing and help for us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you that thou art our God who love us and who want us to live a life that is pleasing and godly before you. And Lord, we know that how weak we are and how prone we are to compromise and even, Lord, to be in friendship with this world and become an enemy against thee. How we pray, Lord, that thou will forgive us and give us the desire, the resolve, and the consecration to want to be like Daniel, even to live a life of integrity before thee. And so we pray that your word will sanctify us, challenge us, rebuild us, and enable us to walk in the path of righteousness for thy name's sake. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday I was having dinner with my parents and they cook a very nice big fish for us, steamed fish, and they bought from Chinatown. And it cost $30. My parents say, you know, they change, give a $50 note to the person, and the person in return, instead of giving $20 back, because the money stuck together, you know, it was very wet, you know, in the fish market. And so, $2 $10 stuck together, and actually they got back $30. So they were so happy. Well, actually they managed to buy the fish at $20, but I say that this is dishonesty. Right? And basically I'm sad because my mother is a believer, of course she's a young believer, that she should have taken a stand to return the $10 back to fish seller. But these are all very simple incidents in our life that you and I will come across sometimes, that you may be tempted that you got the extra money and should I return back or should I keep it for myself? If I keep it for myself, I can enjoy another McDonald's meal. If I keep it for myself, right, I can do this and buy that. I'm sure sometimes in your life, if you walk along the street, Sean may find a $10 note on the floor. What should you do? What should you do with a $10 note on the floor? Huh? Should you stand there and wait 24 hours for the person to come back and return the person, but you are in a rush? Should you take it or should you leave it there? Should you wait for 10 minutes or 5 minutes? You can discuss that in your group discussion later. Right. I'm just saying that there are many instances in our life that we are always tempted to compromise. Even simple things, like someone asks you, are you doing your daily quiet time? A lot of us, in order to show that we are good, religious, often we say, quite good lah, have lah, but actually, deep in our heart, we're told a lie, because we hardly do it. Maybe 1 week, perhaps 1 day, out of 7 days. And we should have said honestly that I failed the Lord. But in order to portray a good image of ourselves to others, we will say, yeah, quite good, quite a fair bit. And so a lot of times we compromise. And you know, for Daniel, he has already decided that he will never cross the scripture lines. And so if you remember Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, you just turn back. And in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, this is a very important verse in Daniel's life. Before anything, any test comes to you, you must already make the decision, make the purpose. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, let's read together this verse. Eh? Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, ready to go. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
Now the word that you bear in mind is this, that Daniel purpose in his heart. Daniel purpose in his heart. And I'm sure that before even Daniel was taken as a captive, a prisoner to Babylon, and Daniel must have already decided, even in Israel, in Judah itself, Jerusalem itself, if the city will be destroyed, my life will be gone, and if I stay put, if I'm taken as a prisoner, I already make up my mind, already decided, I will not defy myself, I will not break the laws of God. And this is the kind of spirit that Daniel has, and therefore, when you read on in the life of Daniel, how he could stand the test of whether to compromise or not. And so each one of us must purpose right now, today, in our hearts. And you purpose in your life that this is Ebenezer meeting. Every Saturday, I will not be late. I will come early. I will seek the Lord. And you purpose and you make up your mind, this is what I will do. And then by God's grace, whatever test, whatever temptation, you can stand it. You go to the army, you purpose in your heart, I will not speak and swear any foul language, any four-letter word. You will not come up from my mouth by God's grace. You purpose now, you know that the Lord will keep you. You go to school, you purpose now in your heart before the Lord that I will always finish my homework. I will not cheat in any test. If you purpose now in your heart and you do it by God's grace, the Lord will help you. You don't wait until the test comes, you don't wait until the moment comes and then you struggle and the temptation comes. It's too late. You will succumb to it. And so Daniel knew it in his heart, in purpose, in his heart. But today I want you to turn the Bible to chapter 3. In chapter 3, these are very familiar stories. I'm sure you know from the example of Daniel's three friends. Integrity tested by fires. Now at this stage in Daniel chapter 3, we did not hear about Daniel. Probably, he must be away, not in the land. And so, Daniel was spared by God's grace. But not for long. Because some years later, if you go down later on, you study Daniel chapter 6, the test will come. And so, I believe that in our life, each one of us will be tested by the Lord in one time or another. In one stage or another. Today may be your turn, tomorrow may be my turn, but God knows when is the time, and when the temptation comes, it will never be too strong for us. God knows it, and God will deliver us. And so here we have Daniel's three friends. A lot of times, Daniel always gets the prominence, because his three friends' names, hardly people remember. Today I ask you, do you know the three friends' names? Daniel, do you know your three friends' names? Gideon, Gershon, and... Most of us cannot remember the three friends, but actually, let me say this, that Daniel's three friends is as faithful as Daniel. Daniel's three friends is also those that are good example, but we don't really know their name so well as Daniel. Huh? So in life, in God's will, sometimes it is fine. Our names are not known, no? Right? Javon, right? People may only talk about Jasha, it's fine. It's fine, right? God knows, right? It doesn't matter at all, right? So it doesn't matter, right? Because a lot of us don't really know Daniel's three friends, right? If you still remember. What are they? Shadrach, Abednego, and Meshach. Very hard to pronounce. Daniel is very easy to remember. But God knows them, and you know that they passed the test of integrity. And so turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 3 verse 6. Daniel chapter 3 verse 6. Every time you want to stand for God, remember you will be challenged. You will be tested. Right? Do not think that you will not be tested. So the testing came to the three friends of Daniel in verse 6. And we read just now that Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 1, he made that image of himself, right? A big, tall image of 70 cubits high. 70 cubits is as high as 88 feet. So it's about HDB flat of about 9-story high. That's how great he made himself, this big image. And you know why he made this big image? If you remember chapter 2, then Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of this statue. And in that statue, of the head that is made of gold, and then of silver, of brass, of iron, that big statue, and Daniel interpreted the dream that that head statue of gold represents the Babylon Empire, and he is the king. And so that image that he dreamt of, although Daniel told him the real interpretation, but sometimes pride came to him. You know, when you are successful and your kingdom is big, and you rule over all, and that dream that you have, and you are the best, you are the gold, because the rest is made of lower elements like silver, iron, brass. And so that probably carried on in the head of Nebuchadnezzar, and he thought that he's somebody, and therefore when it came to chapter 3, that could be a possible reason why then now he made himself this great, nice story statue of himself, and then for others to bow down to worship this image. And so be careful when you are successful. Don't think that success has no temptation. A lot of times success, achievement will bring a downfall, like what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. When you are recognized, when you are seen, when you are successful, it could be your fall also. And that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And so by God's grace, we sometimes can be happy that we are called Daniel's three friends. Unknown by people, we are just called friends. Right? But right, the Lord can use us. So don't aim and don't always try to be successful to be somebody. And that's what they always say. When you are young, right? You think you are what? Huh? You think you are somebody, right? So a lot of young people like to smoke because they think they are somebody. They have to dress very funny. They have to put on their earring everywhere. And now they have in your eyes, right? You can even put tattoo in your eyes. And so we have people who do all of these things. Why? Because they think they are somebody. They want to get all the attention. There's a lot of young people think they're somebody, but as you grow up into the working world and you realize that, wow, there are a lot of people who are rich, who are powerful, who are successful in the corporate world, and then a lot of young adults want to be what? They want to be somebody. They want to be somebody. I want to be somebody. When you're young, you think you're somebody. When you're a young adult, you pursue, you want to be somebody in your life. But when you're old and you're dying and you realize that, you know, this world is not your grasp anymore, you have to let go of everything, then you realize that you are a nobody. You are nobody. And so the earlier we know we are nobody, the better it will be. And so the Lord helped us. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he thought he was somebody, he created a big, great image of himself, and then when the music came out, and then all the instruments were there, and everybody had to bow down to his image, to worship him. Again, you know, this is the line to draw. What is the line to draw? The line is scripture line. Right? You will not bow down yourself. Remember the Ten Commandments. You cannot bow down yourself to any graven image. And so for Daniel's three friends, they knew the word of God, they knew the commandment of God, and they would not do so. They would not do so. And so now is the test. And this test is more severe than ever before. Because this test would mean that Daniel's three friends, if they disobey, they will be thrown into the fiery furnace. Progressively, in your life, you will be tested. Right? In chapter 1, it was a test about food. And now it was a test, more than food, right? About being thrown into the fiery furnace. And so in your Christian life, as you grow, you will be tested more and more. Temptation will be stronger and stronger. And so you and I must pray that the Lord will preserve. So young people, now is the time to purpose in your heart to resolve. And so when the test gets stronger, like for Daniel's three friends, you can pass the test. You look at the church, it's always like that. Young people in the youth fellowship are the most vibrant, right? You want to come for a meeting, you are the most energetic. But when you look at our young adults like Sean Marin, then you find that there are a lot of them become casualty. Love of the world, love of themselves, the pride of life. And so you see backsliding start to take shape in the young adult. And you come to the adult, become very complacent. Go to church on Sunday, that's okay, don't ask me to do anything else. That's all. So Christianity becomes a form. That's all. And so you see the decline. Why? Because of the world, the temptation, compromise set in. And so the Lord help us. That every test in our life, every stage of our life, the Lord will help us. I know it's not going to be easy for you. For Uncle John, I'm already this year, 52 years old. Many tests. Still more tests to come. And how the Lord must preserve each one of us. And so for Daniel's three friends, that was a test. The test of their life, the test of whether they will stand firm for the Lord. Now secondly, when you want to stand for the Lord, it will bring persecution. It will bring persecution. You will have to suffer for the Lord. And you knew that there will be people who will be against you. People who will not like your Christian faith. And so for Daniel's, I think there's some extra notes. For Daniel's three friends, easier for me to call them three friends rather than pronounce Abednego, you see, I also cannot remember. So I just call him Daniel's three friends. Daniel's three friends. And for Daniel's three friends, the Lord actually blessed them. Right? The Lord blessed them. And you know that in chapter 2, when Daniel interpreted the dream and how they were promoted, the last verse of chapter 2, when Daniel, in verse 49, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were set over in position of leadership to look after the affairs of the province of Babylon. And of course, Daniel was in a higher position. But here comes the test. Here comes persecution. People who will be jealous of you, people who will be against you, and that what Daniel's three friends went through. And so if you go to chapter 3, you find that here they reported right to the king Nebuchadnezzar. You turn to verse 12. Turn to verse 12, and all these who are jealous, who are angry, who do not love the Lord, and that represents the people of the world. So the people of the world have no regard for God's people, the people of the world have no regard for God's commandment, and they only delight when Christians fall into sin, and that's where they will report against a Christian. And so, for the three friends, in verse 12, you find that they were reported by all these jealous people, the Jews, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this man, O king, they told the king, they have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, shall suffer persecution. And I want you to know that all this will come if you really walk the path of integrity, you want to love the Lord, serve the Lord. One day when I was working, then before now in another department, I was in School of Engineering in Temasek Poly. Someone wrote a letter to my director to complain against a few of us who are Christians for saying that we pray together, for saying that we preach the gospel, and then something that's not kind, something that want to bring us down. Of course, I was in a position of management then. And then they say that one of them is a part-time pastor. Actually, refer to me, they always call me a part-time pastor. And so, my boss, of course, came and said, you know, the people who write, you know, what you're doing. Of course, we stand for what we do. Sometimes we pray together, but we don't create any nuisance or force anyone to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we try to share the gospel. But there will be times that people will be against you, and there will be times that you'll be called the odd one out if you don't participate. There are times that they will come together, the whole department, because the total now is $9 million, especially Chinese New Year is coming, it's going to hit very hard. And they say, everybody put in, Ishan just put $2. Ishan just put $2, and then we pull together and we buy, and then we share the price, we all sweat. And so, what will you do? $2, I mean, to anybody, is not a lot of money. You can just take out $2. And then you just close your eyes and pretend nothing has happened because you just don't want to stand out, you just want to speak up, you just want to follow the crowd. It's very easy. But not Daniel's three friends. You want to live a life of integrity, you must be prepared to suffer persecution. You must be ready to stand up. You must be ready to say no. You must be ready to say, when you cross the scripture line, I cannot do it. And then the others may laugh at you, may make fun of you. And so, that's what happened to Daniel's three friends. But I just want you to see and read from Bible that you find that they were not people who make a lot of noise out of it. In fact, it was very quiet. They didn't speak anything. There was not reported of them until the king asked them. And so I believe that they have this quiet confidence, this simple trust in the Lord that God will take care of them even when they will not bow down to the image. And that's what true character is. when you stand for the Lord, you don't have to scream, you don't have to yell, you don't have to go into the rage. You don't have to say, oh, what am I going to do? And then knock your head. You know, oh, the big image is there. Ah, if everybody saw me not worshiping, what am I going to do? And you scream and yell, and then you jump down and down. You don't have to do this. There's always the peace in the heart of a believer. When you stand for the Lord, you have the quiet confidence that God will take care of you. God will watch over you. And so there was no report of them making any rage, but that quiet strength, quiet confidence in the Lord, that God will take care of them. And you find that when you go down, that when you truly have integrity, it will yield righteousness. And so when the test came and the king asked them in verse 17 and verse 18, and the king threatened them, if you don't worship this image, in verse 15, let's look at the last part of verse 15. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? I am the king. I have all the power. If I want you to die, you will die. Right? That must be Nebuchadnezzar's words to the three friends of Daniel. Who is your God that can help you? And so they were threatened, and I just want you to know their response. Because that response in verse 17, verse 18, gives us the standard of righteousness, standard of integrity. If you and I want to know what is righteousness and integrity, that must be our response, just like how Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego responded to Nebuchadnezzar. So we shall read verse 17 and verse 18. And you see how the standard of righteousness is that each one of us must be able to say the same thing, believe the same thing like that. Okay, verse 17, 18 together. Ready, go. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Now, dearly beloved, this is what I call true standard of righteousness. When you have integrity, you will speak forth these words. That if I have to die in the fiery furnace, it is fine. I'm ready to die for God. But I know my God, if He can, and if His will, He can deliver me and save me even from the fiery furnace. And so this is what we call righteousness. Standing for the Lord, no matter what kind of pressure you face. The pressure of death. This is real. Pressure of pulling you into fiery furnace. I mean, if you just switch on the gas stove, right, put your one finger at the fire, right, and I will scream and yell, right? Just one finger being burned. Now we're talking about your whole body being burned, and then, you know, Nebuchadnezzar will set the fire seven times super stronger. And here is that wonderful response. Why? Because you want to stand for the Lord, that's integrity, your life will be a righteous life. Life of righteousness. You and I will face a lot of peer pressure. Pressure in life, right? Pressure that will cause us to compromise. Pressure that may even put our life at stake. But we thank God that this is Singapore. We are in the land of peace, of religious freedom. But you never know. A change of government, a change of policy, things can change very rapidly. And so we must be ready to go to the state, resolve purpose right now. And if I have to die, I'm ready for the Lord. That is the ultimate path. And that's what Daniel's three friends passed the test. And that's what we call a righteous life, a life of righteousness. And you see, because of that, it brings reward. It brings reward and how God is glorified. What is the reward? The reward is that God is glorified. In that fire, if you look at in verse 24 and verse 25, when they were thrown inside the fiery furnace, when you stand for the Lord and you have integrity and you will not compromise, what others will see is just like what Nebuchadnezzar will see. Look at verse 24. Let's read together verse 24. Okay, verse, that's just 24 and 25, right? 24 and 25, really good. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, Lord, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Now, dearly beloved, when you stand for the Lord, what others will see is what Nebuchadnezzar will see. What did he see? He see God. He see God. God is there. The form of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his pre-incarnate state, was there to protect the three friends of Daniel. And so, if you want your life to be seen, that God is there, God is real, that others will glorify God, then that is the kind of stand that you and I must be ready to take for the Lord. No compromise. And then others will see God is there. God is in your life. God is taking care of you. God is watching you. God is a God that has blessed you. And so we must see this is the first reward. Not so much about physical reward, but spiritual reward. Now the second is this, and that's in verse 28. And because of their stand for the Lord, and of course God preserved them, now Nebuchadnezzar in verse 28 himself turned and know who is this true and living God, and himself changed his stand and then worshipped this God. And that is in verse 28 that Nebuchadnezzar made that announcement. And so the second reward is this, that if you have integrity, others will be turned to come to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Others who are non-believers, when they look at your life, they will be impacted. They will see that Christ is real in you, and then they will have the desire to want to know who is this God that you believe and trust in. So it was such a wonderful example, such a wonderful way that God worked for someone who stand for Him. I don't know about your lives. If people ask you before, you are Christian, how come you behave differently? How come you will act this way? How come you don't follow like all of us? We just throw bad words and play truant, and we all murmur and scold our teachers. But you don't do that. People will be drawn and find out what is this that's in you that's different. And then you can know that it's a time for you to share that God is in your heart and you stand for the Lord. And so for Daniel's three friends, that was how the Lord blessed them and used them. And we always say that Daniel's three friends were indeed the appropriate forerunners of all believers who endeavor to have true and authentic integrity. If you want to learn about integrity, this is it. Not easy, but the Lord helped them. Now we have to move to Daniel chapter 6. Move your Bible to now chapter 6. Daniel was swept from the test of the fiery furnace. For some years later down the road, now it's his turn to be tested. And now his test is in the lion's den. So in our life, when others are in trials, in difficulties, pray for them. Encourage them. Don't look down upon them. Don't despise them when they struggle. Because one day, it will be your turn. One day, it will be your turn to go through the test. And then you also will need people to pray for you, to encourage you. And so for Daniel, now it's his turn. His turn to face the test. I want you to look first at Daniel chapter 6 verse 3. Daniel chapter 6 verse 3. Again, to show to you that this excellent spirit in Daniel started from chapter 1, continue all the way, even right now, when he is in the top position of leadership in the land of Babylon. So can we read chapter 6 verse 3?
Daniel chapter 6 verse 3 together. Ready, go. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and him thought to set him over the whole realm.
So the Bible tells us Daniel has this excellent spirit. This excellent spirit that the Bible tells us here, one who is of outstanding character, one who really stands out in terms of integrity, one who is honest, one person whom you know that his conduct is beyond reproach, and that is Daniel's life. And so all through, even whatever position that he is in, from the time as a prisoner, from now as a time as a president, right, ruling over the whole land, he maintained the same spirit of integrity, the same conduct, the same trust in the Lord, the same honest spirit in him. And so that is Daniel. And I hope that in your lives, you will maintain that, because you will change. You will move out of your school life, you go to a certain position, and then sometimes the Lord will bless you, you will rise up, sometimes riches will come to you, and then you may be in position of authority, and a lot of people cannot take it when they are up there. And so our prayer must always be, Lord, keep me so low that I will not fall. And so, for Daniel, the excellent spirit is in him. And so again, the same thing happens. Every time you know you want to bear a testimony for the Lord, you want to stand for the Lord, to have integrity for the Lord, you will have what? Persecution. For Daniel, again, all these who are against him, the detractors will come and want to bring him down. And so if you look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. Again, all these people, the people of the world, right, they will be jealous of him. They will not like him to be in a position. They want to bring him down. And what did they say? Right, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find against him concerning the law of his God. And so you have people who will be against you, and the way to find fault against you is to find fault against your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what the world will do to you. You are Christian? You are Christian? Ah, then you know, oh, Christian, ah. You cannot do this. They want to make you do it. Well, the Bible says this, they want to make you break the law of the Bible. And so the world will do that. And so Daniel himself has now to face this test. And of course, you know very well that what they did is very sinister, very wicked. They got the king to sign the decree, right, for this entire 30 days. 30 days, no one is supposed to pray to your own God. Make any petition except to the king. And if you do that, you have to be thrown in the lion's den. And so the king signed this decree, and it cannot be revoked for this decree. So whatever the king signed, made his seal to it, that's final, that's confirmed. See? So for the next 30 days, nobody in this kingdom can pray to their own gods. Everybody must only pray to the king and ask petition from him. See? And he knew what will happen to Daniel. And Daniel knew this decree. He heard about it, it came to his ears. And you know, in verse 10, integrity forbid any shortcut. In verse 10, let's read verse 10. Ready, go. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knew upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Integrity forbids any shortcut. Many of us, if we are in the position of Daniel, you know what we will do? We will use our brain, and then we convince ourselves, Lord, just give me a break for these 30 days. Right? This decree is only for 30 days. After 30 days, no problem, I continue my prayer life. Right? 1 year, 365 days, minus 30 days, I still pray to you, Lord, 335 days. Not so bad, right? 335 days. So, many of us will take the step of what? Shortcut of compromise.
And then we'll try and convince ourselves, it's alright, it's only 30 days. The rest of the time, I still can pray to you, Lord. Or some of us will say, yes, Lord, I know that I have all these detractors, they're going to watch me. If I open the window, and I know that I have to face Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, when you pray, you have to face location, and that location is Jerusalem. Right? This is important, this is following the Old Testament way of praying. But like Daniel has told himself, Lord, for 30 days, I will just pray. I still will pray to you, Lord. I still will pray to you. Say it 3 times a day. But now, let me just hide myself and pray in the toilet. Then the door is shut. Right? Nobody can see me. See, for us, we will reason and we will think of a way to get out of it and we'll find some shortcut and some way of compromise. But not for Daniel. Not for Daniel. He knew the word of God. He knew this is what he ought to do and there's no shortcut in integrity. And he continued to do what he has been doing every day. Face Jerusalem, we pray 3 times a day, and he knew the consequence because the king's decree now is broken. Beware of shortcut. Beware of trying to reason and trying to be too smart and think we can outsmart God and we think we can reason with God and we think we can come up with a better solution that God will still be happy with that shortcut or with that compromise. It will not do us any good. And so, for Daniel, again, the position is very clear. Integrity, following God's word, the line is drawn. This is the line. I follow, I obey the Lord 3 times a day. Facing Jerusalem, I still continue. And of course, he has to bear the consequence. But I want you to see how integrity glorifies God. Again, you see that it is not compromise that glorifies God. When you compromise, it brings shame to the Lord. But it's always a life of integrity that glorifies the Lord. And here the king, in verse 16, look at verse 16, Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. The king, at this point of time, he actually respected Daniel. I'm sure for the king, he knew that Daniel has an excellent spirit. Daniel has been doing a great job for his kingdom. He's a trusted second person in his kingdom. And he foolishly signed the decree, but now he cannot revoke back the decree. And Daniel has to be thrown in the lion's den. But look at what the king said of Daniel. In verse 16. Let's read together. Ready, go. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. It is not what you say of yourself that really counts. It's actually what others around you say of you, of your Christian faith, that to me and to yourself, you know, is it true or not about your life? Here you have the king himself making a commendation of Daniel, acknowledging that Daniel has a true and living God, and knowing that the God that Daniel trusted and served continually, this God that Daniel believed in will help him. And these words is uttered by who? By the king himself. By someone who, at this stage, I don't think he's a believer at all. And an unbeliever can say that of Daniel. Your God can help and deliver you. I mean, such wonderful testimony of Daniel's life. Such wonderful testimony that someone who is not a believer can say that to Daniel. And I always think that if some unbeliever can come to you and say to you that you are a Christian and your life is different, your God is really true, that counts and says a lot about your testimony, about your integrity. Conversely, most of us actually got the other kind of comment. Yeah, you're Christian. How come I don't know you're Christian? Hey, Christian, how come you behave like that? And most of us actually got this type of comment rather than what the king said of Daniel. Your God, whom you serve continually, he knew that Daniel served this true and living God, and God can help you deliver you. What a good testimony Daniel has. And I pray that you and I can sometimes in our life receive such commendation from others. Don't commend yourself, but others saying of you, others looking at you. You know that the closest to you are the people who know you best. And what they say of you, most of the time, it's quite accurate and quite true. And so most of the time, your parents will report about you at home, your behavior to me. And they will give me comments about you. And very sadly, most of the comments I hear are negative comments of not good testimony, of not good behavior as a Christian. How I pray and wish that, just like the king speaking of Daniel, this will be what people will say of you, people will say of me, that God that you believe in, you serve, you worship, you trust, is a true and living God who will help you. And that's what the king speak to Daniel. That's how God is always glorified in integrity. And look at what Daniel speak now. And of course, you know the story very well that Daniel's life was spared according to the will of God. But Daniel was prepared. For him, he was prepared. I'm prepared to die. I'm prepared to be eaten by the lion. But according to God's will, and you know that God, in his sovereignty, preserved the life of Daniel. But look at what Daniel spoke in verse 22. What did Daniel say in verse 22? Did he say, "Hey, I didn't die, man"? Did he say that? Lucky, the lion, maybe very full that night, not hungry enough, didn't eat me up. Did he say all these words? I mean, these are all common words. Sometimes you hear Christians say, "Lucky, nothing happened to me." But look at what Daniel speak in verse 22. When you have true integrity, you will speak like Daniel. In verse 22, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. My God has done it." Acknowledging that God is the one. God is the one who has done it. God is the one who is glorified. And that is what integrity is. Always God is the one who is glorified. And all the credit goes to the Lord. And that's what Daniel speaks and acknowledge God is. It is really a trying time, actually, for Daniel's three friends, for Daniel himself. Chapter 3, chapter 6. The whole group, they pass a test. And I want to say this, that the test of faith and integrity here don't usually have the kind of immediate happy ending. What I meant is this, that there will always be the time of testing. There will always be the time of struggle. There will always be the period that you must go through it first, to struggle, to trust the Lord, before the happy ending of how God will deliver you. Whether by death you'll be in heaven, or whether you're saved from the lion's den or from the fiery furnace. But there will always be the time that God will permit and allow us to go through for the season to purify us, to test our faith, to see how firm we are to stand for the Lord. And you know that it happened to Job, right? When Job, God allowed Satan to take away all his possessions, even his own children's life. And there was a prolonged period when he suffered until finally God rewarded him and blessed him. And it's the same for even the New Testament, like Stephen. Stephen, the outstanding deacon, the deacon who is a great preacher of God's word, and how God allowed him that he will have to be martyred to death by stone, and yet he will stand firm for the Lord and not compromise. And so for each one of them, we all know that they all stood for the Lord, stand firm for the Lord, and will not compromise. The test of faith and integrity, and we have to go through that. And now I say, it will be our turn. What you read in the Bible, there are people already in history, God has helped them, they have passed the test, they are now in heaven, and they are now rejoicing in the Lord, and they are blessed by the Lord, and they are rewarded by the Lord. But today, It is your turn, my turn, running this Christian race. How long this Christian race will be, how much test we will be put through, how difficult it will be, how long the test will be, we don't know. But we know it will come. Your faith will be tested. Your integrity in the Lord will be tested. So the question is, can we say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Though he slay me, though I have to go through all trials, yet will I still trust the Lord? Yet will I still keep to the truth of gospel? The gospel will always be the line that I will obey and trust. So may the Lord help us, may the Lord strengthen us, and like the example of Daniel and his three friends, be our example. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we once again thank you for the record of your word of the integrity of Daniel and his three friends. Father in heaven, we know that what you have put in your holy word is for a purpose, example for us to learn, for us to follow, that it will not be in vain for us. And so, Lord, as we have learned today, again, what is true integrity, we come before thee and we fear, we tremble, because we know that the temptations, the peer pressure, the persecutions, the snare of the world, they are real, Lord. And we face it and we struggle with it. And Lord, we pray that thou will be pleased to strengthen us, to help us, that we in our life will live a life of integrity to stand for thee. So that at the end of our life, all will see thee, and all around us will glorify thee. And Lord, your name alone will be made known, and how we desire for them, that only your name will be glorified in us, that our lives will count for thee, to help us, preserve us, and help us to purpose in our heart even today. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.